nor can we hold his son responsible. Yet, we can expect a higher degree of moral responsibility in their actions as men and as political leaders. Unfortunately, in the 1988 presidential campaign, George H.W. Bush was happy to accept support from a range of Nazis and Nazi sympathizers in his quest for the White House, and was just as happy to keep them on in the administration even after they had been identified as such. Writing about a streak of anti-Semitism in the globalist individuals and companies that supported Hitler and continued to support Nazism even after the war, Lavenda stated, "I believe that the entire racial theory of Nazism was a comfortable environment for these men. They were, after all, from privileged backgrounds, old money, power, prestige, the right companies, the right schools, the right fraternities, such as the infamous Skull and Bones at Yale, to which generations of the Bush family belonged. The Nazis embodied the secret dreams and unspoken loyalties of these men, the public acknowledgement of all that the American elite held dear." During the Reagan years, as most Americans were lulled into a false sense of security, the minions of the fascist globalists took steps to change the power structure of America. James Mann, former Beijing bureau chief for the Los Angeles Times and a senior writer-in-residence at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, took note that during the 1980s, when Bush was in virtual command of the White House during Reagan's hospitalization and recuperation, Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld were conspicuously absent at least once a year. Cheney and Rumsfeld, along with several dozen federal officials and one member of the cabinet, would travel to Andrews Air Force Base, usually in the middle of the night, and from there would proceed to a remote location in the United States, such as a decommissioned military base or an underground bunker. Mann reported that Cheney, Gerald Ford's chief of staff and former director of the CFR, was working diligently on Capitol Hill as a congressman rising through the ranks of the Republican leadership. Rumsfeld, who had served as Gerald Ford's Secretary of Defense, was a hard-driving business executive in the Chicago area, where, as the head of G.D. Searle and Company, he dedicated time and energy to the success of such commercial products as NutraSweet, Equal, and Metamucil. Yet for periods of 3 or 4 days at a time, no one in Congress knew where Cheney was, nor could anyone at Searle locate Rumsfeld.